In the aftermath of the train derailment that released toxic chemicals into the streams and air around East Palestine, Ohio, there are a lot of questions. Among them, could stronger regulations have prevented it from happening? The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier reports many are looking at whether federal regulators should have been stricter when they rewrote safety regulations on these trains a few years ago.
It's around 10 o'clock at night in East Palestine. A Norfolk Southern train runs through the center of town, stopping traffic. The trains are back up and running, almost 2 weeks since the derailment upended life here. Keith Gregory waits for the train to pass in his SUV.
You're not going to beat a multi-billion dollar company, you know.
A few years ago, federal regulators tried to tighten rules around hazardous train cargo, like crude oil. But ultimately, they allowed exemptions in the rules. Gregory now says he wishes those rules had been tighter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The thing is, they wreck every other friggin' day.
Yeah.
Every friggin' day.
Trains in the U.S. actually derail about 3 times a day, according to the Federal Railroad Administration, though seldom do these involve hazardous materials. The Norfolk Southern wreck in East Palestine released thousands of gallons of toxic chemicals into the environment. Rather than risk an explosion from an overheating tank of the chemical vinyl chloride, the company released and burned it, sending up a cloud of toxic smoke. In a press conference following the derailment, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine expressed difficulty grasping one particular aspect of federal rail regulations.
This train was not considered high hazardous material train.
The legal term is high hazard flammable train. In 2015, federal regulators mandated tighter regulations for trains carrying crude oil, but chemicals like vinyl chloride were not included, against the recommendations of the National Transportation Safety Board.
If this is true, and I'm told it's true, this is absurd, and we need to look at this, and Congress needs to take a look.
The NTSB also recommended these trains have electronic braking systems, which studies have shown are better than the kinds of air brakes that were on the Norfolk Southern train. Why? Traditional brakes work by pushing a pulse of compressed air along a train. That pulse moves quickly, but there can be a slight delay between when cars in the front begin braking and when those in the rear do. That means the cars in the back push on those in the front, which are trying to stop, says Steve Dittmeyer, a former official with the Federal Railroad Administration. By contrast, electronic brakes send the brake signal at the speed of light, Dittmeyer says.
All the brakes go on simultaneously, which shortens the braking distance and reduces the pressure on the train from the rear to the front.
The Obama administration originally mandated that these high-hazard trains have electronic brakes, but after lobbying by the rail industry, the Trump administration rescinded those rules. Investigators are pointing to a possible axle failure as the cause of the East Palestine derailment. The train was also big, 150 cars, over a mile and a half long. Dittmeyer says train size can also contribute to safety issues.
The railroads are running longer trains than before, and longer trains when there's a failure of a component have bigger accidents.
Larger trains are a trend going back a few years with a concept called precision scheduled railroading. Under this trend, big rail companies, including Norfolk Southern, cut costs by reducing staff around 30%. They also cut rail routes and began increasing the length of their trains.
Oh my God, Wall Street loved it. Wall Street rewarded his railroads for doing this by raising the value of the stock.
Rail worker unions have criticized these companies' focus on cost cutting. Michael Paul Lindsay is a locomotive engineer who's worked in the industry for 17 years, mostly in the West. Lindsay says companies emphasize the need to get rail cars out of rail yards and onto their next destination.
The entire railroad kind of fights each other where, terminal managers in one terminal will send a train down the line that has mechanical problems, but just get it out of the terminal. Let them deal with it. It's like a big game of kick the can down the road a lot of times.
Norfolk Southern officials bowed out of a public meeting on the derailment on Wednesday. Calls to the company on the topic were not returned. Alan Zaremski is director of the Railroad Engineering and Safety Program at the University of Delaware. He says that the rush to judge Norfolk Southern is understandable, but may be misplaced.
You have to realize we're dealing with very rare events.
Zaremski says one advantage of long trains is there are fewer train trips, increasing safety. He agrees that electronic brakes would make hazardous material trains safer. But, he said, mandating them would create a whole new set of logistical problems for putting together cargo trains, and it would cost into the billions. Zaremski worries more regulation could push freight customers to use more dangerous modes of transportation, like trucks. There are only about 14 hazardous material derailments a year in the U.S., according to federal data.
It's a classic question. Do you spend $100 million to save $1 million? If it's spending $1 million to save $1 million, that's usually a no-brainer. Everybody knows that answer. Yes, you do that. Do you spend $100 million to save $1 million? That's where it gets a lot more complex.
Meanwhile, the accident has renewed interest in the safety practices of big railroads. All four U.S. senators from Ohio and Pennsylvania say they'll push for new rules to prevent a similar disaster in the future. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.